So stated by our heads. Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we are so thankful for your grace and your mercy that allowed us to come back this evening, Lord. Lord, and sing praises unto you, Lord, for all you've done for us. Lord, in a world that's so unthankful, Lord, and so unholy, Lord, I pray that we can give thanks, Lord. And Lord, I pray that your will be done in our lives and everything we do and say this night. Lord, and we just give you all the glory and honors due unto you. In your precious name, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Page 204, Only Believe. Amen. There is coming a day when the heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye, all is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. Thank you. And his grace in our lives. Amen. Page 222. Amen. Give us grace. To take him everywhere we go. Amen. Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give.
Sweeter name than our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you so much, Lord. Lord, this opportunity you've given us once more, Lord, to gather around thy precious word to brothers and sisters of like precious faith. Lord, never want to take one opportunity.
Amen.
Lord, may we climb higher in you this night. Lord, may we not leave the same as when we came in, Lord. Pray you'll be with us, Lord. Have your preeminence in the remainder of the service. Lord, everything said and done be for thy glory. Lord, may our hearts and minds be open to receive thy precious word. Lord, may we be hungry, attentively waiting on thee.
Yes.
Lord, once more we ask that you'll bless this offering. Lord, may it be used for the upbuilding of thy kingdom. We ask it in your precious holy name, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. Think about his love.
Amen.
think about His love. Think about His goodness. Think about His grace. Amen. That has brought us through. Amen. For as high as the heavens above, so great is the measure of our Father's love. Great is the measure of our Father's love. Think about His goodness. Think about His grace that has brought us through. For as high as the heavens above, so think about it. Amen. Think about His goodness.
Yes.
He's brought us this far. Amen.
Amen. Think about His goodness. Think about His grace that has brought us through. For as high as the heavens above, so
a lot of love, it's a lot of grace, it's a lot of needs met. Amen. May He has a need by that prisoner hand tonight. We take it before Him. We bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just think about Your grace and Your mercy, Lord. Lord, we think about the road we have traveled thus far, Lord. Lord, at one time we thought we was heading in the right direction, Lord. We thought we was on the right road. Lord, Your mercy and Your grace stepped in once again, Lord. Set our path on our feet on the right path. Lord, set our minds straight. Set our hearts and affections on things above. Lord, it's Your grace and Your mercy. It's Your love. Lord, it's Your forgiveness. Lord, we thank You so much tonight, Lord. That's why we have peace in our hearts, Lord. That's why we have joy. For what You've done for us, Lord. Lord, we can only love you because you loved us first. Lord, we just appreciate it so much this night. And Lord, as we stand here, Lord, this night, we all have needs. Lord, in one way or another, we have needs, whether it's physical, financial, spiritual, most of all. Lord, we ask you to meet it according to your perfect will. Because, Lord, we want our lives to be a living sanctuary, Lord, for you. Lord, that others may see. Lord, others may know that Jesus walks with us. Satan talks with us. He meets our needs. Lord, we want you to get all the praise and this glory in our lives. Lord, we just ask you to meet it according to your will, Lord, and have your way. Bless the remainder of the service, Lord, as we hear thy word, Lord. Give us revelation. Lord, that's more important than anything else in this life we think we may need. And Lord, we just give you all the praise and the glory and honor. Lord, you truly deserve this night. In your precious name, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Anybody got a song on their heart tonight? Mom, you got a song? No? Well, let's just all stand and sing, Lord, Prepare Me, as we ask our brother to come. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary.
Father, Lord, how sweet you are. Lord, how it's good to feel your presence. Lord, to know that you're here with us. And Lord, you're ever mindful of us, Lord, and you're watching out over us. And Lord, every time that we gather and come in, Lord, and humbly come before your word, Lord, and let it speak to our hearts. Lord, we're asking that through each nugget, Lord, you would show us how to let you prepare us, Lord, to be a sanctuary. And Lord, that every word would mean more to us and become more alive. Lord, that we would be a people that, Lord, you would be proud of. But Lord, yet a people that could have a determination in our hearts, Lord, and a true understanding of knowing where we stand in this last hour. And Lord, we've just come tonight once more asking you to speak to our hearts and, Lord, to bless your precious word. And Lord, we'll never fail to give you the glory and the honor. Lord, just help me to bring the things you've laid on my heart, Lord, and we just ask you to speak to us through your word in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Sing it one more time to him. Oh, God still moves. God still moves.
Amen.
In the heart of his children, God still moves. He does not sleep.
Our hearts to him, amen. He can still move. Maybe show us a little something, amen, that'll help us along the way. Even though it may be simple, many things we've heard, our brothers rehearsed, but God still moves, amen. Hallelujah. While you're still standing, if you'd like to turn your Bibles this evening to, we'll turn over to James in the 4th chapter first. Read a scripture and then you can be seated. Amen. Glory to his name. There in James 4, and we'll start there at the 6th verse. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. May the Lord bless and redeem his word, and you may be seated. Just a little scripture to open with this evening, and thinking about the humility and the things that we should have in our life, and the assurance. But I'd like to turn over to Luke, the 8th chapter, and read a portion of Scripture. Just like to kind of refresh our minds. Our pastor's preached on it many times. But I was just thinking, as it come to me before service, as I was looking back through my notes and things, and kind of changed a little bit from what I had, but just our attitude to what God has for us and our attitude of what we're facing. And I just thought we would read these examples and then think about it tonight in a little, maybe a little more serious manner. And you know, we may say, well, this don't sound like much of a shouting message, but you know, if you can find yourself identified in the scriptures, what a joy it brings to our hearts. But that's why we have these times we gather now. We're looking, we're making sure, we're studying up to make sure that we're a workman that needeth not be ashamed. Amen. But here in Luke, the 8th chapter, and I'll begin about the 40th verse. Amen. Let's drop down to the 41st. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet, and he besought him that he would come into his house. For he had only one daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all of her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her issue of blood staunched, And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And when all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, saying, 'Who touched me?'" And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not hid, here she was, she didn't want nobody to know that it was her, but she knew she had a press in her heart that if she could only but reach him, her issues would be made whole. And I want you to, not just a little lady, just someone small, but she was bound and determined to reach out. And here she's tried to hide in the crowd, but it says when the woman saw she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. And she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith made thee whole. Go in peace." And how we see this little lady is we see God walk along the seashores and the many people that thronged him, walked along beside him, and all the different ones. But this little lady, her desire and her attitude was if she could only but touch him. And she was so simple. She just wanted to get a hold of the piece of his garment. She knew it. She could been revealed to her. She could see that, "Oh, if I can only but touch him, I know it'll be made whole." And how she pushed through all the obstacles that lay around her to reach out there and touch the hem of his garment. And you know, I want to show you another situation, though. Let's turn over to Matthew in the 27th chapter. Amen. Matthew 27 and 29. Amen. Just bear with me. Let's just read these and think about it. Amen. Matthew 27 and 29, verse. "And when they had platted a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him. And they mocked him, saying, 'Hail, King of the Jews.' And they spit upon him, and they took a reed and smote him on the head. And after they had mocked him, they took the robe from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name, and him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were come into a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, 'They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched me there. And they set up over his head the accusation written, "This is Jesus, King of the Jews." And then there were two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, 'Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it again in 3 days, save thyself if thou be the Son of God. Come down from the cross.' And likewise, also the chief priests, mocking him with their scribes and elders, said, 'He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God.' And the thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth." And I want you to look at the two different approaches the people had. Here, one saw him for who he was. And in humility, she just knew if she could just touch his garments, she recognized who he was. And in his presence, she was ever made whole. And I want you to look at these others, though, how they pressed the crown of thorns on him, beat him, mocked him, scoffed him, and they never felt no virtue from him. They never noticed or felt, as our brother mentioned, being in his presence here a while back. They didn't realize whose presence they were standing in. And they mocked him and they scoffed him and beat him. And you know, the scriptures were identified. You know, Brother Branham often referenced back to being an American and how if you was an American, you was all the glory that it had, you was part of it. And all the bad part of its history, that you were part of that. When George Washington crossed the Delaware, he said he showed us how that he was identified with that. And then he brought that over to the spiritual side and showed us how we were in Christ and how we were identified with Christ. And you know, we sit here this evening, every time we come in the doors, every time we go out, every day we live, our life is expressing where we're identified. These scriptures are showing and expressing to us where we're identified. And you know, every situation as we're in the last days and the Spirit is crying out, the coming of the Lord is near.
And we feel the press of the Holy Spirit pressing upon our hearts. And God is here showing us our needs that we have need of. And the word comes and it comes. But what's my attitude as I sit here? You know, oftentimes we can look back and see what God done in the past. As our brother read it Sunday, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. And how we see that Noah, God spoke to Noah and told him it was going to rain. He was the messenger for that time. And Noah began to build that boat, and he was telling them, it's going to rain, it's going to rain. And they laughed at him. Oh, you don't know what you're talking about. Oh, we got time. Don't worry about us. We'll be fine even if it does rain. Don't worry about it. And they laughed at him. But there stood Noah. He didn't let it bother him. In humility, he kept on driving the nails, gathering the fruit, whatever it took. He kept moving along while everyone else laughed. But the day come that it rained, and Noah went into that ark, and he sailed across those floodwaters in safety, and the others drowned. But we find there are two classes of people, two attitudes every time. God's word comes forth, and there's an attitude, Lord, I must reach that height. Amen. And then there's an attitude, I don't know about that. I think that's the pastor's idea. I think that's some man's idea. That ain't the word. I don't have to worry about that. But we're identified by our attitude. By the way, we approach God's word, and he don't just have to hear us say anything. He's looking down at our hearts. He is a discerner. A word is sharper than a two-edged sword. And we each one, as we sit here and the word comes, we know when we feel it prick our hearts. We know when it steps on our toes and we begin to see, Lord, you're trying to show me, but what's my attitude? Oh, I ain't got time for that. Or does the attitude that there's a humbleness in my heart and a humility crying out, Lord, I've got to have that, lest I perish. And you know, as we say, I would like to read here, improving his word. This was preached April 26, 1965. Amen. Brother Branham had read the scripture of that woman and getting the blood issue. And he said, I want to speak, this is on page 6, paragraph 28. I want to speak just a few moments. And that will be just a few moments because I want to get them people with the prayer cards up here and pray for them, and omitting any other thing. We're just praying for the sick. But before we pray for the sick, we've got to get the people in that attitude. It's the attitude that always brings the result. It's the attitude that you take towards God. Here is a woman touched his garment. A soldier spit in his face and put a crown of thorns on his head and felt no virtue. It's your approach. The attitude is what it takes, and that's what it is tonight, dear friend. It takes the attitude. We are and believe that we are in the presence of Jesus Christ. But it's your attitude that brings results. The mechanics is here. And so is the dynamics. If you can just get started, God will do the rest. And he says, the subject I want to speak on for a few moments is proving his word. And that's a great thing. And God is here to prove his word true to every one of us as we come in. And you know, every one of us, we come in and we hear the word. And we listen closely and intently. And then when the word comes and we see our short place, God's watching our hearts and he knows our attitude. And he knows. And you know, it doesn't matter. We're identified. And our life is shouting so loud sometimes our testimony can't be heard. And it's showing us where we're standing. And you know, coming to church is a wonderful thing. Believing this message, that's a wonderful thing. Dressing right and looking like a Christian, that's a wonderful thing. But we must be born again. We must have the baptism of the Holy Ghost that will take this life and change it. It'll bring everything under subjection. When the word comes forth, and it's maybe it's the, as our brothers mentioned here recently, a wife being under subjection to her husband. When that word comes forth, do I instantly, I ain't got to listen to that. Our attitude shows where we stand. And it shows which side of the fence we're on. Because you're identified, if you look back here in the Bible and you say, well, if I'd lived in those days, I'd have been with that little woman that saw Jesus walking down the street. But no, Brother Branham said, what you are here is what you would be there, and what we're doing today identifies where we've been standing. Amen. Our attitude today would have been the same then. We might have, if we can't accept the word as it comes forth and shows us our short place with a desire to overcome, or we just kind of mock it and laugh it and laugh it off, oh, I don't have to worry about that. I'll get to that sometime. No rush over there. If our attitude shows which side of the cross we would have been standing on. And here we stand today with the looming of the appearing of the Lord coming. And he knows our attitudes. He's looking down in our hearts, and he sees. He knows as the word's coming forth, and as our brother here is our pastor, and as he lays before the Lord, and the Lord lays messages upon his heart to bring it, and the Holy Spirit leads and guides, and the word comes forth. An all-seeing eye watching you, and he's watching, and he's looking at our attitudes. He's looking at our hearts, and how are we proud? I ain't got to do that. I ain't stooping that low. I've got my rights. But God's watching our hearts. He's looking at us, and he's monitoring, and he knows. And you're not going to get nothing from God with a proud and a haughty spirit. But till you come in humility and with kneeling in prayer and saying, Lord, I need you with all my heart, he's never going to answer. What if that little woman would have walked up to him? I'm a believer. I believe you're Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Heal me. I'm going to get healed. That attitude would have never worked. And it's the same today. I belong to the church. I've been a Christian for 25 years. I don't understand why God don't heal me. I don't understand why I got to suffer this. He said I was healed. He did. And his blood's just as theirs fresh. But what's your attitude and your approach to him to get that healing? What do you want? What are you looking at? Is it to his glory or your glory? Or your need or what you feel you need in life or what you want to do in life? Maybe I need a job. What's my desire, my attitude towards that job? Maybe I can't get to church as much as I should. What's my attitude? God's looking. If he sees a real attitude that wants to be at service, he'll make a way for someone that wants that. But he's looking at your attitude. And until he sees a sincere heart, someone that's seeking him diligently, he ain't going to reply. Amen. And this rapture is only going to be for those that are truly, their attitude is, Lord, come quickly. Lord, prepare me. Get me in the shape that I need to be. Show me, Lord, where I need to stand. Let me overcome daily, Lord. Not, oh, who cares? I forgot about that till we got back to church. Oh, I didn't even think about the Lord coming. That's done. God's looking at our hearts. It doesn't matter what Brother Tim says or what our pastor says. Don't matter what this church says as a whole, but God is looking down at individuals. And he is monitoring. And he's coming back for a bride. And that little bride's going to be ready. And our days are getting short, just like it was in Noah's. Oh, he's just one person over there doing that. Can't be right. I look at everybody else. Nobody else is concerned about that rain. But oh, it came. God never lies, and his word never fails. But his word means exactly what it said. You come to him with the right attitude and repentance and be baptized and watch you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. God's word never fails. And you can sit here, as our brother has said, and hear the word with the right attitude. I'm watching fill you with the baptism of the Holy Spirit if that's what you need. Whatever we need. But if words are lacking in our life and we're not concerned about seeing it could be really manifested and vindicated in our life, our attitude's wrong. And that means if the attitude's wrong, something's wrong down inside of here. And that's when we must be concerned. Because that's where we must know that without the changing of the soul, we're never going to rise. Amen. Without being born again. Amen. Hallelujah. This is in the message, Spiritual Amnesia. This was preached April 11th, 1964. He's speaking here. It's bottom of page 10. We'll just catch this so we can see. He says, take a real spiritual meeting where the Holy Spirit is healing the sick and discerning the thoughts that's in the heart and put it among all the churches. Just a great rally here. And you may say, well, I don't see no great healings taking place here. I don't see no great excitement going on. But the Holy Spirit here is discerning the thoughts and the intents of the heart. He's here. Amen. He doesn't have to call you out. He's speaking to our hearts. And we know, each one of us know where we're short. We know where we lack. We know what we need to overcome. And God sees how we are concerned about it. He sees all of us. Am I okay to happy to be that grumpy person that our brother mentioned there Sunday? Am I okay and happy with that? My attitude don't really care that I'm grumpy and grouchy to other people. Don't really care that I hurt people's feelings or offend. Try to offend. You can't offend someone with the Holy Ghost, but you try to be hurtful, try to dig, cause little grievances. That ain't the Holy Spirit. And how the Word is showing us that. There's been church members and church members and church members. But there's going to be a bride that's going to stand in the glory of Jesus Christ with his life expressed back through their body. Not just some church name, not just a group of people that go to a certain church, but it's going to be that precious blood-purchased bride of Jesus Christ. Amen. He says here, but get the rally out here in the stadium and look what happens. In a few minutes, everybody would be getting up and walking out. They'd have nothing to do with it. They don't want nothing to do with it. They'll listen to some intellectual talk. And how we can see this spread throughout the message churches. People don't want to hear the word preached. They don't want to see their sin uncovered. They want to just be entertained. They want a preacher to get up and let them shout and jump and run all over the church, speak in tongues like the Pentecostals do, and go outside and smoke cigarettes, wear their slacks and their pants, cut their hair, wear their makeup, do all these things. And how Satan is trying. He's going about as a roaring lion. It's the last days. He's seeking whom he can devour on every hand. And how we must guard ourselves against everything, that we don't let one thought in, one step where the Satan can get a hold and begin to draw us this way or draw us that way, but we've got to stay focused because the Lord is coming. Amen. The message has went out. It's going forth now. Be ready, prepare, trim your lamps, and make sure you're full of oil. Amen. We must take heed to what the Spirit is saying and how it's crying out. Amen. Each one of us as individuals, I'm not just excluding myself, but if we gather in here and we sit under the anointing, we must take heed to what God is trying to show us. Amen. Not with a helpless attitude or I just don't care. I'm not worried about it. So what? It's got to become a reality. Amen. Down in the inside. But when it comes to the power of Jesus Christ, His resurrection and the Holy Ghost, they want nothing to do with it because it condemns them. It sets them afire with the thing they ought to know. No chastisement, of course, is pleasant for the season. But if you yield to it, it'll bring the fruits of repentance. And we find out when this spiritual amnesia gets a hold of the people, they are in a bad condition, and we find the same now. But you must be identified somewhere. You must show. Your life shows tonight where you're identified. You're identified either in Christ or out of Christ. You're not halfway. There's no such thing as a drunk, sober man. There's no black-white bird. You're either saved or you're not saved. You're a saint or a sinner, one or the other. Your spiritual attitude towards God's word identifies you exactly where you're standing.
Amen.
And how this word is showing us. That's what's bringing the assurance. Now is the time to line up. And when we see our lives lining up, and we see that even the things I'm reading tonight, maybe I see my attitudes right in tune with God's word. Hallelujah, I can be thankful. Because without Him, that desire wouldn't be burning there to get there. It wouldn't be a press in my heart. Lord, I see where I've been short. Lord, I can see the words trying to cut this out of my life. And Lord, I want to overcome that thing. Maybe it takes fasting, prayer. Maybe it takes a week, 2 weeks. And still that thing just seems to be sticking you in the side. But yet there's something in your heart crying, Lord, deliver me from this.
Amen.
A cry. To reach out, amen, to see that thing overcome.
Yes.
Amen, not just laugh it off, oh well, so what? Just the way I am, the way I'm going to be. No, but we must see this word conform us to His image. Amen. Been predestinated to it. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hearing the message, this is in God hiding Himself in simplicity. Preached April 12, 1963. Amen. Down here, he's praying, actually, but it's bottom paragraph 30, page 38, paragraph 284. He says, let's bow our heads just a moment while we ask God's blessings on these things. I want to ask you something. Today, as radio has went on in the papers, I seen a paper this morning where they're going through an act, a man packing a cross. They have all kinds of things on Easter morning. The whole church will be decorated with lilies. The altar will be filled with lilies. The Easter rabbit taking the place the chickens. I wonder what that has to do with Easter. A rabbit, an unclean animal in the sight of God, and they were even forbidden to eat them or touch them in the Bible time, and the chicken, the same thing, ducks. But yet it took place of the resurrection. Santa Claus took the place of Christmas. Yeah. Oh my, what's the world come to, friend? Where are we at? You see where we're gone? We're headed right straight towards the pit. That's right, we're pinned down by sin, creeds, and dogmas. But a messenger got through 1,900 years ago this afternoon. And that requirement was reached. God's Son, made in the likeness of sinful flesh, born in a manger. No beauty that we should desire Him. He was a man of reproach. We didn't desire Him. We hid our faces from Him. And we still do the same thing today. You say, I wouldn't have done it. Oh, your attitude today proves you would have done it. You're doing it now. Won't you take your way with humility and say, Lord God, I don't care what it costs me. I don't care what is in it. I'm finished with sin. I don't say you're bad. Don't say you smoke, drink, or anything. But you don't believe the word. And how that should strike our hearts, as we said, if these things are lacking in our life, sin is just unbelief. And we don't do those things because we don't believe. And where does that put us? And that's the thing we've got to see. Lord, help me now, Lord.
open my understanding, Lord. Give me what I have need of that will turn my life 100% to the Word. And make that desire burn white hot for you, Lord, that I would be a press. I'd want to be an example to my brothers, my sisters around me. Maybe I'm a mother, I want to be an example to my children. Maybe I'm a father, I'd be an example to my children. There's a press in there that, Lord, you would be reflected and vindicated and manifested through my life. But oh my, you know, sometimes still that's a stickler for a lot of people. When you mention Christmas, why, oh my goodness, right there, stop. We're not going to talk about that. Easter, oh, I wish not. We got to put these little eggs out. When we should be, no matter who's in our care, we must teach them the right way. Show them the right way. Explain to them why we don't do these things and these things over here. That's God's gift to us. God placed the people here to be a representative of Him. He has no hands but yours, mine. No mouth but yours or mine. And it's here, we're here to reflect Him and to let Him live Himself through our lives. But oh my, sometimes it's just little simple words like that. Oh boy, you mentioned that. And right then, the attitude's done and flared up. Forget it. You're not getting nothing nowhere with God now. But that's just what I'm just trying to show you. That's just a little thing. And everyone here probably don't even care about that. But it's still, what is there a little word that comes that makes my attitude raise up? He shouldn't be saying anything about this. The pastor shouldn't worry about that. When sometimes we're still so blind we can't see past the pastor and see that the Holy Spirit is leading and guiding and truly discerning the thoughts of the heart and showing us where we need to climb. Amen. God still moves. Amen. He's still here. He's still training. He's still pulling on our heartstrings. He's still here wooing us. Don't give up, son. Maybe we fell today. Maybe we hit a hard test and trial and fell flat on our face. But He's right there with a hand. Son, get up. Come on. But He's there to push you through. He's not going to take this mud hole out of the way. But He's going to teach you how to get through it. But oh my, we must have a desire and the attitude, Lord, take me through. Amen. Hallelujah. Here in the message, Victory Day. And this is very familiar. It's been read many times. But I want you to think about it. Our brother mentioned a while back about the presence of the Lord being here. And how, you know, the different things. And here we come in our attitude. You know, the King of Kings is here to meet with us. And do we truly come in with that attitude? Or do we just come in? It's another church service with a building. And so-and-so's going to be there. And so-and-so's going to be there. And I'm going to sit on the pew for a half hour. We're going to sing three songs. We're going to take up offering and do prayer requests. And then we're going to go home. Is that what church means to us? Or does it truly mean when all you can think about when you wake up on the morning of, maybe even the day before, it's on your heart. Lord, what are we going to hear Thursday night? What are we going to preach? Amen. You know, I don't never know when I'm going to minister. I come expecting to hear Brother DeLong preach. He's the pastor. I expect to come here. Now, he needs a break, and when he does, I'm more than happy to help him out. But I come here with that thought. I'm not coming just to hear him preach to see what he can preach on tonight. But I'm coming because God said where two or three are gathered in the midst, He would be in the midst. And He said, when I send the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, He shall teach you all things and guide you into all truth. And when I gather in here where I know the Word is being preached and read just the way God said to bring it, and I gather with saints of like precious faith, I know He's here to meet my needs. And this is God's provided way. Together and through the foolishness of preaching, men's souls would be saved. But what's our attitude towards it? What's my attitude towards life as I'm going through it here? That I just, am I going to church for the benefits of going to church? I get to sing. I get to do this. Got people to go out to eat with. Maybe people to have fellowship with. Or am I in it because I see there's a goal? I see God has called me to a higher place and called me for a purpose and placed something down inside of me that drives me every day and pulling me towards my goal. Amen. But listen here as he says this in this little example in Victory Day. This was also preached April 21, 63, and it's on page 35 down near the bottom. I'll start. I heard a little something a while ago. I'd like to repeat it. Come from, I believe it was Billy Sunday that made the remark. There was a boy that had done a crime. And I don't know whether you ever heard of it. He done a crime and they threw him in jail and was going to. He was in and he had a trial. And the judge said, the jury come out and they said, we find the boy guilty of the crime. And we, the jury, said, we ask for his life. And the judge said, I sentence you to die. I'm and hanging from the rope until your mortal life is gone. And God have mercy on your soul. And the boy was taken to the prison and put in the inner prison that he'd have to stay there until the time he was to die. And friends come to the judge and said, judge, We helped elect you in the city. Please, please don't let that young fella die like that. I just come from Texas for another thing, something like that. A young man, he speaks, let me drop down. He says, so they pleaded and pleaded and pleaded, and he wouldn't do it. So after the while, at the governor of the state, the mother was outside the door one day and fell down at the door like that and cried to get in. And finally the man come in, and the mother of that boy, the governor, is outside there. She wants to see you. And the governor said, bring her in. And the woman in humility crawled on her hands and feet up to the governor and took a hold of his shoes and said, sir, that's my child. Don't kill him. Don't kill him. He's the only one I got. Don't kill him. And said, he didn't mean to do that. Just give him life in prison, but don't take his life, governor. And the governor said, well, I'll go down and see him. Said, all right. So the governor went down to the ward where he was at, and they went into the boy, and the boy wanted to be arrogant and said, got someone to see you? And the governor went in, and the young man said, I'd like to talk to you. He got real arrogant and just sat down, buttoned up, and wouldn't say a thing. He said, young man, I want to speak to you. I want to talk to you. And the boy just acted like he didn't even hear him. He said, young man, I can help you if you'll let me. And said, get out of here. I don't want to hear nothing you got to say. And he said, well, son, he said, shut up. Don't you see I'm nervous? I don't want to hear one word you're going to say. And he said, well, I come. He said, get out of this cell. So he walked out and they closed the doors. And when he walked back, the guy, the police at the ward at the door, you're the most foolish person. He said, who was that crank anyway? And he said, that was the governor of the state. And the boy said, no, not the governor. The only man that can pardon me, and I run him out of my cell. The only man that can sign my pardon, and I run him out of the cell. And the governor went out and said he made his choice. And so the last thing the boy said when they put the black mask over his face to hang him, when they pulled the rope up tight and put the mask over him, said, think of it. The governor stood in my cell and would have pardoned me if I hadn't have turned him out. And you know, we come in here and we gather. And you know, we gather under the sound of God's voice. And every time we come in here, the Holy Spirit's speaking to us. Don't turn him away. Amen. Yield to the Holy Spirit. Amen. And you know, sometimes it may come down to a husband and a wife. Maybe the husband's really filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Maybe it could be a wife, could be a child. And maybe that husband's trying to be the pastor of his home, and he's trying to show you what the Word said, trying to show you what God would want in your life, and you get arrogant and turn away from him. Remember that that husband, if it be a husband trying to show a wife, houses a little part of God. Might be a wife trying to show a husband a little scripture. Honey, would you read this? Would you think about it, honey, how it's affecting us? And how that husband I ain't got time for that. But remember, God still moves. He might have led that little lady to pray and to just, honey, take that Bible in there and open it up and lay it there on the shelf. And let him find it and read those few verses. Might be vice versa. Maybe a son or a daughter. Either way, if it's God's word, it doesn't matter who tells you to read it. But when you read it, remember, it's God speaking to us. And how we must make sure we don't shut him out. Don't turn him away. Because he may only knock once. We may only hear one small voice, one warning. Because the Holy Spirit's crying out, get ready. Get ready, I'm coming. May we take heed to what the Holy Spirit is trying to show us in this last age. And may we be willing. But God's watching our attitude. And if we truly want to see that revelation vindicated in our life, and to know with an assurance that we're in that rapture, without a doubt, it's going to take God seeing the right attitude in your life. The right motive and objective behind it. But God's watching. He's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Amen. He knows us inside and out. Amen. Here in the, this is, I don't know what paragraph this was, but this was in the message once more. And Brother Branham said this was the one preached in November 1763, and I can find a page number for you. But it says, we're at the end time, folks. We ain't got much left. We better be hollering right now and crying out once more, Lord, once more, just this once more at the end of the world. Let your strength fill my every fiber. And may that truly be the desire of our hearts. Lord, let my attitude be, and may you see a true heart in me, Lord. That's truly what I want, Lord, is all of you and none of me. I want you to take me over, Lord, and pry me, turn me over. You know, we're not a people that have just altar calls and try to get people. The Word has showed us, but it takes a true heart. It takes someone that shows God that they want it.
But we must always remember, if I'm here and I have a need, it might be anything. This altar is always open for prayer anytime. This building, most of us have a key. If we feel that need a place to get away, we can get in. We can hide out over here for a little bit with the Holy Spirit if that's what you need. But remember, God knows. He's looking at our hearts and He sees how concerned we are. Just like the day when Noah's message was going forth. They just kept on doing their daily activities. Oh, well, he's just on talking about that rain coming again. It's all about that rain that's going to come. Says it's going to be bad. Says I don't want to get wet. Nope. But God's looking at our attitude. When that word comes forth, our ears ought to be pricked up. Lord, what are you saying? As he read the scripture several services ago, let him that hath an ear hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. Pay attention to what God's trying to do. He's only speaking to certain ones. He may not speak to your sister, your brother beside you, but if you're feeling that drawing in your heart, you're feeling something prick your heart, and you see that, Lord, I still need this. Lord, I see I need this in my life. Now's the time to get it. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. But let's press while there's still time. Amen. You sisters can come to the instruments if you would. Amen. A small text. But may we weigh up and measure up. And let's make sure that, Lord, am I white hot? Lord, is it burning in me? Or is it just, it's church service again. Everybody goes to church these days. All on Sundays. Some people go more than we go to service. But oh my, what am I coming to service for? And am I truly, while I'm here, am I realizing that I'm making a choice between life and death? That's every time I come in here, that's my options. And Lord, let me choose life every time. And without His mercy and grace, we can't even do that. But by His mercy and grace, He could put something in there that draws me here every time them doors are open. And oh, I thank God for it. Amen. Let's all stand if you would. Hallelujah. As our brother comes, let's sing that little chorus one more time. God still moves. Amen. I'm just so thankful that He moves. Amen. I'm so thankful that I can feel Him and know that He's here and know that He's talking to my heart. Even the things I've read tonight as I prayed and was reading them before service. Lord, is my attitude 100% where it ought to be? Lord, does it line up? Do you see in me that this is my concern, or do you see it's not really a concern to me? But we must make it real. God help us. Amen. God still moves. God still moves. In the heart of His children, God still moves. He does.
Appreciate the word tonight.
Amen.
So good to sit under the word and measure yourself up by the word, not by somebody's ideas and creeds and theories, but by the word of God. Amen. And I just want to share a little something with you. As I sit there, probably approximately about 10 minutes before Brother Timothy read the quotes, and speaking about Easter, talking about the Easter Bunny, he spoke about Christmas. About approximately, as I said, about 10 minutes before that, the thought just came to my mind as I was sitting there. Christmas. And I thought when he come to say those things, it was strange that he spoke that after I just got done thinking it. And the thought that the Lord laid on my heart to speak for now. You know, whether we realize it or not, Christmas is coming real soon. It's almost October. And people are already talking about it here and there. And think about, oh, we've got to get started, you know, buying this and buying that. And it may be still hard for some to accept that. And as I said, as Brother Timothy's talking about that attitude, make sure the attitude isn't wrong to receive the truth on Christmas. And maybe even after hearing the way we have and reading things Brother Bram said, the Lord just wanted me to lay this out to you, to give you something to think about. We may think, oh, I still want Christmas. I want to buy gifts. And there's a lot of people in the message still have Christmas trees. Can tell you who they are, some of them. They can't get away from those traditions, you know. But I want you to think about something. Prove to me where God wants Christmas, the way the world has it. You can't in the Word of God. Impossible. And so Brother Bram said some things about Christmas. And talked about receiving gifts and things. The thing people still fail to see is so easy to see. Until those seals was revealed, the angel of the Lord came down and finished the mysteries. You will see from that time on, Brother Branham was trying to get people away from it. People still give him stuff. And he's still got stuff for the children. But never anything about Santa Claus, Christmas trees, all that nonsense. As his ministry went on, he started saying things to get the people away from it. Now, only those with the Holy Ghost will ever, ever catch it. Remember what he said? An unveiling of God. Things are said for a purpose. Things are done in a way for certain reasons and the way God does things and things he says that throws people off on purpose, that they'll ponder over, they'll just struggle over, and they'll never get it. No. But those filled with the Holy Ghost can see God speaking through that prophet's mouth and getting them away from that nonsense. You can't find in the Bible anywhere where we're supposed to give each other gifts. No. But you find everywhere where God gave us gifts.
Amen.
He gave gifts unto men. Yeah. He gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God gives the gifts. And you know what gift we're to give to him?
Yes.
Our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him, which is a reasonable service. And when you really think about it, here, God that gave his life for us, the true Christmas, the gift of his life for us, that is so important and so great and so tremendous, that he gave us salvation. And then human beings come along and give each other gifts, make each other that important. Oh, nonsense. It's the world, you see. We could bring a message on. And maybe someday I will again. I don't know. But remember what Brother Timothy read tonight when he spoke on. Watch your attitude. Because when you away from the understanding of it, because we want to still do it. Well, Grandma gives me things, so I want to get Grandma things. And they buy me things at work, so I want to buy them things at work, or them people things at work. You know? People are so afraid of persecution. They're so ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's like I told you a few years ago. It's been several years ago, because it was before I had a shop. They wanted me to come up and pray over the meal for Christmas dinner. And I wasn't going to at first. I went and prayed about it. The Lord just laid on my heart to do so. So I went up and I prayed over the meal for the Christmas dinner that they had. And my prayer said many things about the true meaning of Christmas. And had many say things that they never thought about it in that way. And I left after I prayed. Yeah. That had nothing to do with it. But I put my part in to let them understand about the true Christmas. Amen. Of course, they wanted to know why I left. And I told them. I said, I don't participate in that. And I wasn't ashamed. I thank God he gave me the opportunity to express about a true Christmas and our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Not all this other nonsense of gift giving and Santa Clauses and Christmas trees and all that goofiness. My. I thank God for truth.
Amen.
Amen. But as I said, it's hard for people to see what really happened when the angel of the Lord came down and spoke through that prophet's lips. And begin to bring forth the mysteries of the truth. Amen. They go back in things he said in the 50s and 40s.
Yes.
And look at the things the Holy Ghost corrected what he said in the 40s and the 50s. You see, he was still a prophet. But you see the Son of Man come down and reveal the truth. Amen. And you can see things change in that prophet's life as he went. Hope you can see it. It's so easy to see. But it takes the Holy Ghost to see it.
Yes.
Amen. And only the true bride of Jesus Christ will see the true mysteries of God. Amen. The true unveiling of God. Amen. Let us bow our head. Heavenly Father, it's such a great privilege to have been here this evening and to listen to the precious word of God that our brother brought. And how we appreciate these opportunities to gather around the Word and let the Word of God sever and take away from our lives anything that isn't like you. And Lord Jesus, again, we continue to ask for revelation more than anything else in this life. Oh God, help us now. Bring forth the Word of God in such a reality, a great reality. The Lord will not be a people like the world. But you told us in your word, Lord, that we should not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Oh, Lord, that's what we're here for you to do that through us. Help us to be able to yield and surrender our lives to it. We thank you now, Lord, for this day. Thank you for all things that you've done for us. And we look forward, Lord, to the greater things you shall do for us and in our lives and through us. You're so sweet and wonderful, Lord. Bless us now together as we leave this place. And Lord, if it be thy great will, and if you should tarry, open the opportunity for us Sunday, Lord, to come in again and listen to the precious word. And as always, we will give you the glory and the honor and the praise, for you are truly worthy of it all. And thank you, Lord, again for all things. In your precious name we ask, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So wonderful. Amen. Let's just sing a little chorus.